You're listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. I am Alex Knight, and I am joined by, take a guess, Michael Norton, Chief Creative Officer, who is back. And we're back after quite a long hiatus. I think it's been about a month now. And if you're hearing this now and there's a bit of echo in the room, it's because I have moved locations. It's an undisclosed location and it has not been acoustically treated yet. So please bear with us for this episode. So Michael, how are you doing?
I'm Batman.
Oh, no, see, his voice has gone all gravelly.
I'm okay. The voice is pretty much the only thing wrong yet. But yeah, things were not great for a while there.
Yeah. So what exactly happened to you?
So I collapsed on the Wednesday before we were going to record our next episode. And it turned out that I had a massive pulmonary embolism. So a blood clot had moved into my pulmonary artery and was preventing oxygen from moving to my lungs into my bloodstream.
My understanding is that that is not very good.
No, it's not. In fact, if I were older than I am, I'd probably be dead.
My understanding that's something that's more common to people that are considerably older. And
yes.
It is, and like you said, it is more dangerous if it happens to somebody in
yeah.
their 50s.
Yeah, luckily I'm young, so my body was able to compensate and was able to accept the treatment that they gave me.
You're at that stage of life where you can still probably take copious amounts of alcohol and abuse, and your body will heal relatively okay.
Yeah. Of course, once you hit 30, all bets are off, right?
Oh, thanks for reminding me. By the way, my birthday is next week. I'm turning 34.
I know. Happy birthday. Enjoy your impending death.
Yeah. Oh, hopefully.
It comes for us all.
Yeah, you know, I contemplate my own mortality on a regular basis. It's probably not entirely very healthy.
No.
Let's get back to where you are at. So you collapsed. You had the pulmonary embolism issue. You ended up in the ICU. At the hospital, and you were there for quite some time.
Yeah, I was there for about 2 weeks before they discharged me, the day before my 26th birthday, actually. So that was a nice present. The first night I was there, they basically did an emergency procedure to install catheters that went directly to the clot, and then they pumped it full of clot buster medication, which broke up the clot and prevented new clots from forming. In the meantime, they were also giving me heavy dose of blood thinners.
Does this procedure involve nanites of any kind? Are you like part Borg
no,
now?
No, we're not at that stage yet, sadly. Because if there were nanites, they could just go in there and eat the clot, and then the clot would be totally gone. But, so the medication worked. My body started to recover. They did CT scans to check on the progress of the clot. And just before I was released, it had shrunken to the point where it was no longer a threat. I'm more or less okay. My energy is back to normal. I can walk more than 5 steps without losing my breath. The only thing left is the voice.
Right.
But, otherwise I'm...
And what's the prognosis on the voice? Is that something that over the course of the
next
few months...
They said it'll clear up eventually. I don't know how long it'll be, but it's already better than it was. Like, I'm talking mostly normally right now.
Sure.
But before, my voice would actually crack. Like, it would go into... It would be almost impossible to get my point across, especially if I started getting emotional, because then it would crack even more.
Right.
Well,
that's good then. If the voice is the least of your
concerns,
but
and then of course I'm on Blunt the Thinners. And that's probably going to be for at least 3 months, possibly longer. There is a theory that I might have a genetic predisposition for clots. Depending on which one it is, I might need to stay on the thinners forever, or I can safely go off them and then just be really careful not to become bedridden for a long period of time, or sit in an airplane seat for too long, or yeah. So we'll see what happens, but it's been a crazy bumpy ride from there to
it
here.
It has indeed, but I can say that there were moments where I was really concerned because you weren't answering any of my messages, because I mean the listeners probably don't know, but we talk often and when days and days and days, and I think almost a week at one point had gone by, and I started trying to contact people closer to you to see what had happened, and then I finally heard back that you were in fact okay. But yeah, there was a period of time that I was like seriously concerned, because when you initially told me what happened, I knew that it was serious.
Yeah, you know things are bad when I'm not online for more than a day.
And I think that's interesting though, because you know, and like everybody, so many people now are just so connected, and you know, your phone is the thing that you always have with you, that you always seem to be on. And
yeah,
and so it is unusual when you are disconnected for a period of time. It feels weird not to be connected, and then when other people can't contact you easily, then that's when you know, like you start to immediately draw the worst possible conclusions of what's happened to that person. But anyways, I'm glad you're okay and you're making a good recovery so far.
Yep.
But you got that sexy vocal fry now that seems to be so appealing to so many people.
Yeah, it's great. I smoked a pack a day for 40 years and then I became Batman.
Maybe with that voice, we could record some kind of radio play.
Oh, yes, of course. What evil lies in the hearts of men?
That's right.
The shadow knows.
Yeah, or the X-Files. I mean, the cigarette-smoking man has a
bit
of a...
He didn't really have a super raspy voice,
though. Super raspy.
Yeah.
But there was a tinge of that.
Yeah. He has a very unique cadence to his voice as well.
So why don't we actually just... try to get back to normal podcast operations and talk a little bit about some of the current interesting things that have been happening lately. Obviously, everybody's talking about Pokemon Go, which is kind of annoying. I haven't actually played it. I do know what the game is about. I've installed it. I just haven't played it. I've never played a Pokemon game. I've mentioned this on previous episodes, but... It sounds like there were a bunch of things that you wanted to get off your chest about what's happening with this entire phenomenon. So why don't you start?
Yeah, so Pokemon Go. It's just the sheer amount of news stories and signs being posted reminding employees not to play it. And there was one in Ontario the other day. Pokemon Go player hit by car driven by a person playing Pokemon Go.
Is this for real?
Yes, for real. That actually happened. You can't make this stuff up, apparently. It is a global phenomenon, and it hasn't even launched in every country yet. They're still rolling it out, and they're still suffering teething pains with their servers. It's... just completely crazy, and oh my god, an Abra just popped up.
So this game, you actually need to use the camera and on your phone, and you can't just play at home, can you?
You can turn AR off.
Okay.
So when AR's off, there's just kind of this virtual landscape.
Oh, I see. Somebody told me that you actually need to go outside and walk around in order to actually use this game. Is that
true?
Yes,
that is true. So by walking around, Pokemon will pop up. You can go to various Pokestops that are locations where you can pick up random items. if you have something called a lure module, you can apply it to a Pokestop, and then Pokemon will randomly appear around it for 30 minutes. There's a bunch of algorithmic voodoo going on in there too. Like if there's five Pokestops in close proximity and they all have lure modules on, the chance of a rare Pokemon showing up is much higher. Things like that. So it has I think I've said this at least one point before, and that was that if Nintendo ever made a Pokemon MMO, it would destroy society as we know it.
And that seems to be happening
and
right now.
This is basically the closest thing that we've ever gotten. So people naturally are going completely insane over it.
Well, it really has become a cultural phenomenon, not only because so many people are playing it, but it's just becoming like ingrained in society where people that you think wouldn't talk about a video game like this are talking about it. Talk shows are talking about it. And when The Simpsons does a commercial and they have like Homer is sitting on a bench at the zoo and his kids are like, look, dad, pay attention to me. I'm playing with a tiger. Right. And he's playing Pokemon on his iPhone.
Yeah.
And he's like neglecting his children. It's like when it gets to that, when The Simpsons has covered it, you know you've made it.
Yeah, pretty much. I also have a feeling that South Park will probably have something to say about it this season.
Most certainly.
They already kind of did something like this, I think, but they'll probably have a more explicit parody this season. And obviously Trump. Oh my God.
Yeah,
South Park covering Trump is just going to be
that's going to be
nuts.
Crazy. But as far as the game is concerned, I've been seeing a few of the updates that have come through. Wasn't there an issue with some security? People were not very happy with the way they were addressing security.
Initially, it was asking for access to all of your Google account, which Niantic's previous game Ingress does, because at the time it was created, Niantic was a studio under Google. More recently, they actually broke away from Google. They're still heavily funded by Google. Google's their primary investor, but they split off and became their own company again, and that's when they started working on Pokemon Go.
I don't know anything about that company, but I always thought that Pokemon was like a Nintendo property, that they actually had Nintendo programmers making
it. So the thing with that is Nintendo's new direction that Satoru Iwata started was that they would start to embrace more modern things. We already know they're working on iOS and Android apps.
Yeah.
They released Miitomo.
Right.
And Pokemon Go was a natural extension of that. Niantic actually approached Nintendo and said, hey, we have this augmented reality location stuff. And we did this really cool Easter egg thing for Google Maps that one time on April Fool's Day, where you could actually go around Google Maps and catch Pokemon. And everybody that caught them all ended up getting a certificate from Google certifying them as a Pokemon master. But Niantic did that as well. And so they approached Nintendo and said, we have the tech. We love the franchise. Let's make something together. And Nintendo said yes. And Pokemon Go was born.
So it's a collaboration between the two. Because they had the AR technology, which Nintendo, assuming they didn't have that.
Yeah.
And they needed to collaborate to get it working.
Yeah. So, I mean, Niantic has the AR. They have the location meshing stuff that makes the game work, because they built all of that out with Ingress. The Pokestops are actually based on the most popular portals in Ingress. So portals were, you could just submit a landmark and they would add it onto the map. They chose the most popular ones and those became the Pokestops and gyms that are around the world. They're also branching out into sponsored locations. So when it launched in Japan, every McDonald's in Japan is now a gym in Pokemon Go. So they'll do the same thing as time goes on. They'll have multiple branded locations. So every Starbucks could become a Pokemon Center, or every Tim Hortons could become a Pokestop. Like, whoever's willing to buy ads
right.
from Niantic, they can get sponsored locations put onto the map.
So, do you think this game has any longevity? Like, is it going to peter out in a couple of months, or do you think it...
Well, right now, the user base has sort of peaked. It's sort of slowly starting to dwindle down, but they are planning on making significant updates as time goes on. They will add breeding into the game. They will add actual Pokemon battles between people. They will add...
Well, that would be interesting.
...trading. So people can trade Pokemon amongst themselves. They will continue to add Pokemon until the entire 600-700 list is in there. And as of yet, the legendary Pokemon have not been revealed. The assumption is that they will have live events in certain locations for people to be able to get those Pokemon. But they haven't announced anything about that as of yet.
Have they mentioned anything about the user base as far as, like, how large are we talking? Number, are we talking hundreds
it's
of thousands,
bigger
millions?
Bigger than Candy Crush.
So it's, what, in the millions? Or I don't know what
tens,
Candy Crush
tens
is.
Tens of millions. It's like...
Okay, so it's massive.
Yeah, it's bigger than Tinder, in fact.
Right. And they did have some initial server hiccups.
Oh, yeah. The server is still quite spotty. It will crash every so often from
load. They're struggling to keep up with the traffic.
Yeah, right. But I don't think anyone, well, I mean, if you're being slightly less than conservative, you probably could have foreseen that Pokemon plus online plus multiplayer equals insanity.
Sure.
But
I don't know how they architect the network stuff, but I know when the game initially launched, it was US only for a couple of weeks, I think, then launched in Canada, and they started releasing in other countries. And I'm wondering if they have servers all in one data center, or like how are they allocating that?
My assumption, I mean, at this scale, really the only thing you can do is Amazon EC2 servers and load balancers.
Right, right.
Or Google's solution. Actually, in fact, because it's Niantic, because they were part of Google, I would bet that they're
Google
probably
servers.
Using Google servers.
Yeah. Is it
Google,
called App Engine? Is that what they're equivalent
to?
Yes,
Google App Engine, Google Compute Engine. There's like a whole library of products, and they have something similar to EC2, but they're newer at the game than Amazon is. So it's hard to say where it's actually going wrong sometimes. It could be Niantic's implementation. It could be Google's servers weren't built perfectly to deal with this kind of mess. Amazon's been at it a lot longer. I mean, Apple uses EC2 for stuff. Part of iCloud runs on EC2. So, I mean, they've proven time and again for years now that they can handle any user load you throw at it. So, I mean, that could be part of the problem. It's really hard to say without knowing exactly what their stack is, but it's certainly a lot better than it was at launch. So hopefully they continue to improve things as they open it up to more countries.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's going to be fun to see if it continues to be as insane as it has.
I should really give it a shot. I've been
busy
with the move.
Be careful.
I know.
You might lose yourself.
I have a slightly addictive personality, so it is a concern of mine, that's for sure.
I just find you 3 weeks from now, downtown.
What, in an alley somewhere?
Yeah.
In a puddle of my own filth?
Yeah, just like... Just one more Pokemon, man. I just need to catch one more.
Sir, you're going to have to vacate the area.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't let it get that bad. Famous last words.
And then moving on, speaking of Nintendo embracing modernity, Eurogamer leaked details on exactly what the Nintendo NX, the next major console from Nintendo, actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite interesting. So instead of doing a traditional console, instead of making a new handheld, the NX, as I predicted about 6 or 7 episodes ago, is both. It is a handheld that can be plugged into your TV using a base station. The handheld is effectively a tablet, and on either side, there are detachable controllers.
Yeah, I saw that. I got really excited when I read that, and it's going to be, the NX is going to be powered by a high-performance Matrox video card, right?
Oh,
right?
Yeah, totally. The Riva TNT 2. Yeah.
But we don't know, do we know anything about the GPU?
We do. So supposedly it is going to use the latest NVIDIA Tegra chip, the X2. They're actually about to announce a new Tegra next month. Well, this coming month in a few days. I don't know when the event is. I think it's like the first or second week of August. But this will be the Tegra that's based on the Pascal architecture, which is the new GTX 1000 series architecture.
So if the NX is being released next year sometime, I don't even know what the time frame.
I would bet it's March or April.
How much, I'm just thinking, for, as far as manufacturing is concerned, they probably need, what, at least a 6-month start.
They'll have done a deal
which
with...
means that the GPU that's going to go in there won't be one that's released next year. It'll be whatever's out now or
yes.
just coming
well,
out.
Well, the thing with NVIDIA is when they announce a chip, it's going out the door.
Okay.
And my bet would be that Nintendo has a partnership with NVIDIA, much like the partnership that Apple has with Intel,
sure.
where they get early access yeah. to chips. So,
well, knowing that they need to build this console, I'm sure NVIDIA's yeah. like, okay, well, here you go.
Yeah, exactly. So this console, not only will it have most likely the firepower to compete with the PS4 and the Xbox One.
Well, at least the current generation.
The current generation.
Before they do a 0.5 revision.
Yes. It won't have the same spec as Scorpio. It
right.
won't have the same spec as the PS4.
Which is
0.5,
totally fair because those aren't coming out till next year,
I
think.
Yeah, the Scorpio's not till next holiday season.
Right.
The PS4.5, they haven't even
Who knows?
Said when
Who
it's
knows?
Out. It could be a similar time frame for all we know. So it will be roughly on par with the current next-gen consoles in a handheld, which is nuts.
It is, but it, and also, I just want to reinforce that this is a big deal for Nintendo because
yes.
they spent so many years, generation after generation, being so far behind in terms of hardware performance, not just one or two generations, but possibly even more, so anemic
yep.
in terms of the performance, that this is going to be a big deal for their platform and a big deal for developers and what they can actually extract from the hardware for
yes,
the games.
Exactly. Now, it will obviously be an ARM processor. So the cool thing about that is that theoretically, someone would be able to port iOS and Android games directly to the NX as indie titles. So that opens up the NX to a massive library of games. Transistor, like all the supermassive games titles have been released for iOS and Android. Bastion, Transistor, their upcoming game. So those could all be ported to the NX. Yeah, like pretty much everything. That new game that was on PS Vita, Severed, that just launched on iOS and Android. That could be ported as well. Basically, yeah, there's massive opportunity there. And in fact, there was another rumor that the NX would be more compatible with smartphone apps.
That's
that
interesting.
That it would run the smartphone apps that Nintendo is working on.
Oh.
So that just serves to reinforce that the NX is in fact using the Tegra.
So if anything, it sounds like this is more, even though still will be, people may still think of it as a traditional console, but internally it sounds more like, more and more like a smartphone.
the closest thing I would compare it to is the NVIDIA Shield tablet.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
So it'll effectively be a Nintendo branded NVIDIA Shield tablet with detachable controllers, a base station that you can plug into the TV, possibly cellular capability, which would be amazing for multiplayer. Imagine being able to play Smash Brothers on the bus, in a park, wherever you go. Plus, because it's an ARM chip, they could port Pokemon Go to it.
Yeah. So what does that mean then for the future, or is there no future for dedicated handheld consoles?
That's the beauty of it. It is a handheld console.
It is.
But it has the power of a traditional console.
So then,
and it can be used as a traditional console.
So then would, I guess, Nintendo not need the DX anymore?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, that effectively...
The DS is effectively dead if this thing is exactly what they've said it is.
That's interesting.
Like, there will be no more explicit handheld division. There will be no more explicit console division. There will only be the NX and whatever comes after.
See, that's really smart, and that's what drives me up the wall about Sony and the fact that they've seemingly abandoned the Vita. Because everyone that owns one, even though it never sold that well in comparison to the PS4, maybe hundreds of thousands of copies instead of, you know, tens of millions of PS4s, but the people that do own the Vita are so passionate. It's a big passionate user base, and obviously people like something they can take with them. But the reason why those people that own Vitas are not playing games on a smartphone is because they still want the physical controls, and all the good games are on the Sony stuff.
Yeah.
So to me, like, it's probably not going to happen, of course, now, because they've already, you know, everyone knows there's going to be a PS4.5, and they're not going to do a radical redesign. Maybe the one after that will have to be something more like the NX.
Possibly, yeah. I think there will definitely be quite a reaction to this device in the marketplace. I mean, just thinking about the prospect of being able to play Zelda Breath of the Wild.
I was waiting for you to say something
about... Wherever I am.
Something
new
Zelda.
Being able to run around a 500 square kilometer Hyrule wherever is crazy.
Yeah, it's extremely appealing for sure.
And obviously the only thing that can hamper this is battery life, of course. So, I mean, if it only lasts 4 hours, that's going to be pretty shitty.
Everyone's going to be carrying around, remember when the Sega, I don't know if you remember this or know this, but the Sega Game Gear was a portable game console. It was pretty chunky and color display, really awesome at the time when it was released. But then they came out these crazy accessories because the battery life was so atrocious. I think it took AA batteries.
Oh.
And you just imagine, like, battery technology, alkaline batteries in the early 90s.
Yeah.
So they sold these crazy accessories. They sold this giant battery pack that was a belt. You strap this giant brick to your side, and that was your extra battery with a cable coming out of
Oh my god, that's terrible.
So bad.
Oh
my god.
Yeah.
I just hope nothing like that happens.
Yeah, let's hope to God that doesn't happen here. Luckily, with the Pascal architecture for the Tegra, it's 16 nanometers, so the energy efficiency should be pretty high. So hopefully they can eke out at least 8 hours of battery
and
life
squeeze as much lithium polymer battery in there as you can.
Yeah. I think it'll probably... They'll probably keep it as slim as they can because they know that people are used to that. People want that. But I don't think anyone would mind if they added a little bit of bulk to keep the battery life stable.
Yeah.
I'd be happy with 8 hours. That would be totally fine with me.
I would love 8 hours. I don't think that'll happen, though.
I think it'll be more like five. If it's
hours.
Nonstop, if you're nonstop playing a game, I could see it not lasting super long. I mean, the iPhone and the iPad don't last super long if you're playing a Unity game or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't expect it to hold up if you're playing a game constantly, but if you just have it in standby mode, it should last at least 8 to 10 hours by itself. So yeah, I think that's probably a reasonable target.
If you're playing it that long, you know what? You're probably slacking off and you should get back to work.
Yeah, and you're probably going to keep a battery pack with you anyways.
It's probably not healthy to play a game sitting down for 5 or 6 hours straight. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's not a good idea.
That's the beauty of the NX, though, because you can walk around with it.
Oh, so you're getting your exercise and not paying attention to where you're walking.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant.
Well, that's what people that play Pokemon Go are doing. So why not play the real Pokemon or Zelda or...
I welcome the inevitable destruction of the human race by ourselves.
Yes. It will be glorious. Long live God Emperor Trump.
On that bombshell. We're at 30 minutes here. We should.
All right.
You've been listening to the Impromptu on Hologram Radio. I am here with Michael Norton. As always, if you'd like to show your support for this podcast and our lovely podcast network at large, please visit patreon.com/hologramradio and donate $1 or $2 every month like all the other fine people that are currently contributing, because this podcast actually costs real money. You can subscribe to the podcast in iTunes to ensure you get every new episode each and every week. And if you're in iTunes, why not drop a 5-star rating if you think we deserve it? And of course, we do deserve it. Who are you kidding? Follow the show on Twitter. We're at The Impromptu. Michael Norton is at Zen Impulse. I'm at Zero Distraction. We're on Facebook and Instagram if you just look us up by name. And if you'd like to send us feedback the old-fashioned way, send us an email to theimpromptu@hologramradio.org. Don't be shy. That email will go to both Michael and myself and to give a shout-out and tell Michael how much you missed him.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.